This is the Be Memorable podcast. I'm Ty Erickson. I'll be your host. We'll be talking to the best of the best on how to sell yourself, how to market yourself, how to brand yourself or your company, and overall, how to be memorable. Dave, welcome back. Hasn't been too long, but appreciate you joining me again to do this podcast today and try to add some more value to everybody.
Happy to be here, Ty. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah, so the topic I wanted to focus on today, and I think I'm going to learn a lot, is how we should be using text messaging in business. I know I text a lot and a lot of people text, but I wanted to talk a little bit more about how we infuse that into our business. I know it's becoming more relevant now. And so with that in mind, I wanted to kind of talk about the details of how to use it, how not to use it, and whatnot. So I appreciate you again taking time to talk today.
No, my pleasure. It's a timely topic, especially with everything going on in the world and trying to figure out how do I stay engaged with my clients or my employees or you know, prospects and in a meaningful way that's easy for them to access. So yeah, I think it's a great time to do this.
And that is a good point. I mean, I use text quite a bit to communicate with my employees, especially remote right now with everything that's going on. It seems like it is a little bit more pertinent of, you know, sending over a piece of instruction or whatnot that saves a little bit more time than you picking up the phone and having a 15-minute conversation over some small item. So
yeah, no, I agree.
So let me ask you, how should people or even businesses, because we're talking just on the business end, how should they be using texting right now? What are you seeing?
Yeah, great question. So right now, there are a lot of people that are trying to figure this out because everyone knows the metric and lots of companies abuse the metric of 90% of text messages are read in the first 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. I've seen that number grow to, you know, people extrapolating it to 97%, but that's a little bit of a stretch, but people are, you know, maybe 13-year-old girls, they check their phones that frequently, but in business, it's a much better medium to engage. But there are a lot of caveats to texting that other media don't have. So to answer the question, there are a couple of parts. And the first thing is how, what's the best practice in using texting? And let's talk about in like a sales acquisition type process. And then, you know, if you don't mind, let's break it down maybe into then with customers that you're currently working with. And then even as a retention re-engagement type.
Yeah.
Does that sound okay? Okay. So we specialize in this a little bit, but on the lead response, the lead engagement side, texting is really crucial. But I'll share this that the data indicates that people, there are certain age groups where texting is a much more powerful way to engage. And it starts to taper off a little bit. You get into 55 plus, you know, people, maybe even 50 plus folks, they tend to maybe shy away from texting a little more, especially your 65 plus. It starts to tank as far as how effective it is because grandma and grandpa don't text like we do, or they think about text like they think about email, which is, oh, I'll get to that later.
Yeah.
And so,
and even if they can, it's hard for them to keep up at the speed that everybody else does it. And I'm sure it gets, you know, even a little bit annoying because it's just not an everyday thing, like you said, for them, even if they, you know, cause I do know some older people that text, but they're just not interested in keeping up with the pace either, where you're having a full conversation via text.
I totally agree. And there's kind of a trust issue with texting because texting is a more personal media. And so generationally you see this fade, right? The millennials, they just don't have the same boundaries that people say. I almost said no boundaries. I don't mean that. With respect to the technology and the platform, a lot of times you'll see older folks, they feel like this is an invasion of their personal space and you need explicit permission. Yeah. And we'll talk about that actually in a little bit because we should. But they feel like they need to invite you into that space. So you wouldn't kick your neighbor's door down and say, hey, have you got any sugar? to an older generation, that's kind of what texting from a business can feel like. Now, but to anybody in the sweet spot for most businesses, so, you know, 55, 50, and then down to about the mid-20s, texting is a phenomenal medium, but it needs to be used properly. So, and in lead response, coming back to answer that part of the question, it's really, I would say for most companies, it's a very effective first step. As long as you have permission to text somebody, to reach out and say, hey, thanks for filling out my lead form, or thanks for your inquiry, Steve. But texting, broadcast texting, where you just send genericized text messages, you know, that's actually a faux pas I see a lot of people make as well. Is rather than personalize it, make it feel like Dave Hansen is personally texting yeah. Ty Erickson, they genericize it, and then it kind of defeats the purpose of using a more personal medium for communication.
So, and I don't want to get off on a tangent here. Maybe you'll cover this. But how important is it right now? I know there's, like you were saying, in the lead response, but what about somebody being able to communicate to a business through text?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah, great question. So there was a great study in the UK about this. And let me see if I can find the data on this. But 70% of customers say texting is a good way for businesses to get their attention. Mm. And 59% of users want their communication functions built into the phone, not a separate app, meaning they want to be able to message directly to a business yes. through a text rather than you try to log into the Kroger's app and then message Kroger's. They'd rather text Kroger's.
See, and that would directly, be a preference of mine, especially when I'm setting appointments and doing stuff like that. I haven't gotten completely to that point, but when someone does offer that where I can just shoot them a quick text to get what I need from a business or a doctor or a, you know, to set an appointment, it's super convenient. But I know we haven't really, at least it doesn't seem like we've gotten to that point yet where that's like a standard line of communication.
It's not, but I'll tell you that, personal anecdote, I dropped a 50-pound dumbbell on my 14-year-old's foot last night. I know, it's terrible, poor kid. And I shouldn't be laughing, but it's just like so dumb right. that I did that. And especially right now with, you know, we don't want to take right. him to an ER with coronavirus. Come right. home with it, you know. So, but we have a family doctor who we have his cell phone, and he does home calls and home visits. Oh, he's cool. amazing. So my wife texted. She texted him this morning, and within like a minute and a half, he texted back and said, "Bring him on in. That's 25 awesome. Minutes. I'd like to see him." That's how long it took us to drive yeah. to his office. So, guess who's never changing doctors?
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah, it's us, by yeah. the way. If you didn't guess that, guys, but. He's phenomenal, but it changes the way that clients engage yeah. with your brand. So if you can have that where they can text in, but also if you initiate the engagement I want to highlight another faux pas I see people use right now, especially with if they're trying out texting, they're using text broadcasting tools. I won't name anything, but you know, there are a lot of tools out there where they can send mass messages. But they can't personalize right. it. But you also can't respond to it. So there's another stat. I don't have it in front of me, but it was actually it ticked everybody off in this study they did in Great Britain, where if they texted a business and the business didn't yeah. respond to the text messages, if they replied back to the text and they found out it was promotional and there was no way to reply via text, it actually made them mad. It ticked them off. Yeah. So you need to make sure that if you're engaging over text, you have the ability.
Dave, you there? I think I lost you.
Oh, shoot. Sorry about that.
There you are. No, you're okay. So you were just, you can continue on from when you're engaging over text that you need to make sure somebody's on the other side, I believe is mm-hmm. what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, and a lot of texting platforms that are out there, they'll let you push out text, but then people can't respond. So it just, in the study in Great Britain, they found that people were actually, it made them angry if the company sent out a broadcast text. And when they replied, they got a notification that they couldn't receive text messages.
Oh, that makes sense. That would feel frustrating. And I think that, to me, it would feel, like you were saying, a little bit violating as well. Like, that's mm-hmm. cool. So you can push me out, you know, a text message and, you know, notify me in a personal way, but I can't respond back. I mean, what's the point of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel that way about do not reply emails. Some companies yeah. send these announcements out to you, like a Comcast or some big corporation, and they've sent yeah. us a do not reply. I'm like, well, why the heck are you communicating with me if you don't want me Correct. To reply back to you? But it's more right. poignant with text messaging. And the, yeah. another aspect of this, too, is I know people that they're getting into texting like, this is great. let's send a text to 2,500 clients and try to re-engage them. But they're a single, or they, maybe they've got two people in their business. So if they sent out that, you know, that many text messages, great. But how are they going to possibly reply to the 800 text responses that they get?
Correct.
Yeah. So you've got to be cautious as you start to engage in these, this world. It's wonderful. It's, it creates tons of engagement. I have some clients that are like HVAC companies that their average job is like $8,000 and they close more than half of their business over text messaging.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Now, do you find, I know you have your way of doing it through Client Tether, and that's what I use, but do you find the other formats out there that are texting, are they computer-based, or are they phone-based, or are they both? I mean, I know they're both, but what are you seeing predominantly? Are they doing it from the computer, or are they having to do it from their phone?
You know, it depends. There are a bunch. If you've probably added them up, there are hundreds of different apps that can, you could help you do that. And there are two different delivery modalities for texting as well. And right now there isn't an advantage of one over the other.
Okay.
However, you know, anybody that's doing unlimited texting plans for businesses, it's all over SMTP. And so that's, you know, it's all computerized and pushed through. Telephony tends to be a little better. Anyway, there's not a huge difference between the two.
Okay. That makes sense. And I'm sorry, did I cut you off on that as far as where you were going, or were we still headed down that road of how to use it and how people are using it? Cut you off there.
That was a good path to take. No, I don't think you cut me off at all, because we were talking about how to engage, you know, your clients, your leads, your prospects with texting, how it can be effective. Mm-hmm. One other thing I'll share just as kind of a tip that is a best practice I'm seeing businesses use is they highly personalize things. If you're a business texting, we'll talk about regulations soon, but it's not only required, but it's also, I think, a best practice to make sure you identify yourself. You know, if somebody fills out your lead form, they don't have your number in their phone. So,
correct.
So saying, hey, this is Dave, like giving him a name, right? This is Dave from Client Tether. Thanks for filling out my lead form. I look forward to talking to you soon. Look for my call in the next few minutes, right? That feels a lot better than, hey, Jim, thanks for filling out our lead form. We'll talk to you soon. It's like, well, who the heck is this? And which lead form is this? Because often if they're looking for a service, they might've filled out two or three lead forms before they get to your company. So,
True. And we've all gotten so used to email, having our email address on there. We've got to kind of reset ourselves and realize that, like you said, when we send something over, people aren't able to identify us by phone number. So we've got to identify ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're a business texting, you have to do it anyway. But a lot of people don't know that. So they don't do it. And then they can get themselves in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Cool. Yeah, so there are a couple of different ways. One was about engaging new clients. One is about engaging current clients, or let's categorize that together with also reactivating or re-engaging old clients.
Okay.
I've seen this is a great way to, especially service-based businesses or businesses that have a renewable reason to engage, an annuity of some kind, tax services. This is really relevant for them, even attorneys who else has an annuity? Software companies, or regular services like, let's say, home cleaning or anything like that. I even have a client who's a painting company, and 12 months after they've completed a job, they send out a text message to their clients and say, "Hey, it's been a year. How have you guys been? And we just want to say thanks for the work. It's, you know, and I can't believe it's already been a year since we painted your house." But there are a lot of ways that you can use texting on the more recurring services to stay in front of customers. So if you have you're an HVAC company or a plumbing company, you have a service contract with a company or a customer, then you can send out a text message, you know, 2 weeks before that service is due, and then try to initiate the process of scheduling that service with your technicians. And that's a pretty easy process to get into with your customers. But again, as long as you have permission to do it.
Yep. I love that. And then once you do have permission, it is a more personal touch as well, as long as you do have that permission.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. There's a lot more we could dive into there, but I know you had a couple of other questions you wanted to focus on today. Was there something else you felt we should dive into on that, Ty?
Yeah, so I wanted, I know that kind of accompanies like the repeat clients and just existing clients. What about, I think I know the answer to this, but I'm not positive. What about prospects or people that you haven't really initiated or that you don't have that permission? Is it just no go? Like you do not text them. And I know this kind of jumps into, you know, what are the laws or things that we need to be looking out for to protect ourselves as well and doing it the right way.
Yeah.
But is it just a complete no go on prospects? Even if you have their information and you haven't gotten that permission, you under any circumstance, you just cannot text them.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. So we should shift gears because one of the biggest mistakes I see companies make in this space is they say, "Ooh, I've got a shiny new toy. I can now text people. I just bought a mega list off of, you know, megalist.com.
$5,
and it's got 3,000 people's cell phone numbers on it. I'm going to text them all and drum up a whole bunch of business because they look at the name and they salivate. 90% open rate and their read rate. And they're like, I'm going to kill it. Well, so the reality is there's a governing law in the United States. There's also a law that's been put into place in California. Anyway, I won't make any commentary on California, but they always feel like they've got to do their own thing because they wish they were their own country, right?
So, yep.
But they're not, and they can't be. So anyway, they created their own CCPA, the Consumer Protection Act of California. And we'll talk about that in a second. But TCPA is the governing law that really kind of any business needs to pay attention to that's going to do texting.
Okay.
And what it really, I mean, and I'm not an attorney, I'll say that now, but from what I understand of the regulations and how it impacts our business and our clients' businesses who text, is that the most important thing to remember is you have to have permission. They have to have opted in to have you text them. And I was giving a presentation to a group of business owners and with one of my partners. And before the webinar, I went on to all of the registrants' websites to look at their web forms. And of all the people on that were registered for the webinar, only two of them out of like 20 had compliant web forms, which I'm actually embarrassed because I thought, I didn't want to embarrass people. I wanted to show people a good example of how they were keeping their web forms compliant. And I had to look for like a half an hour to find one. And so the way that you have to do it, it has to be express consent. They have to give you permission, and it has to be written where they can see it before they hit the submit button to send you their information. You have to say something to the effect of, you know, by submitting this, you know, this form, I authorize you to contact me via text and phone and email, whatever medium you plan to engage with them on. You have to write it out like that. Again, I'm not an attorney, but something to that effect. And they have to be able to acknowledge it when they submit. But Ty, let me share a story about that will maybe illustrate the point a bit. We got my son, he was a teenager, a cell phone, a little bit begrudgingly on my part. And as soon as we got it activated, he started getting text messages from obviously an employment agency trying to help him get a temporary job.
Okay.
Now, we were flattered, but he was only 14, so we figured it might be a mistake, and he'd never signed up for their service or given them permission to text him.
Right.
So I said, don't worry, bud, just reply stop.
Yeah.
And it should go away. Well, 4 hours later, he got another text. He said, well, reply cancel. Maybe they have a different system in place that doesn't take normal cancel keywords. And the next morning, he got another one. So I said, well, try this one. We tried a few. We wrote them text messages back saying, hey, this is a 14-year-old kid. Like, stop texting him. He's not interested in your jobs. Please pull us off your list.
Right.
No response. So about, I don't know, a month and a half later, about 60 text messages later, I said, this is annoying. And I could literally pay for his college education if I took these guys to court right now. I'm not kidding.
Right.
It's like, $1,500 per violation or something crazy.
Wow.
So, but I realized that they just didn't have a system that allowed them to either receive our responses or they had no one monitoring it. So I called the company, ended up on the phone eventually with the CEO, and it's a fairly reputable company. I had no intentions of suing them, but I just kind of laid it out and said, look, you've got a serious problem because I am not that guy who's going to sue you for this. I want to help you. I said, but you're texting people that are looking for temporary jobs.
Yep.
So you need to fix this problem. And I said, by the way, I could take you to court right now and you'd owe me about $65,000 or something crazy. I forget what the number was. if I was that guy. And he was like, I said, and I guarantee you've probably got 50 to 100 more people out there that you are texting like this. You probably better figure that out quick.
Yeah.
And he was grateful, but there are tons of businesses in that situation where you have to be able to automate some. You have to know somebody's opted in. Yep. So you need mechanisms in place to monitor that, but then you also need to have an ability to shut it off. And if possible, an automated mechanism. So if somebody replies, stop, cancel, wrong number, not interested, then your system will automatically stop the texting. So you can make sure you're compliant.
So you should have multiple, that was going to be my next question. So you should have multiple triggers in there that'll turn that off automatically.
Yeah. I mean, in our platform, we've got several very common ones built in, like not interested, stop, and wrong number. There are a couple more, but yeah, okay. You need to have, I mean, if not, you have to have somebody who's vigilantly watching all texts coming in and then manually turning off whatever mechanism you have to turn it off to make sure that you don't ever send them another text.
Now, again, I don't want to get into the legal side, but is there something that is gray or borderline? Like if you're a business on the other side and you're texting right now and you get something that says, I don't want this anymore. I mean, I'm guessing it just has to be clear that they've expressed that they don't want it. And regardless, you're going to be held accountable for that.
Yeah, I guess, Not to me directly, but I've seen in somebody else's account where they're sending out a lot of text messages.
Yeah.
I've actually seen a message to say like F off and things like that. You know, obviously, you know, you're not messaging the classiest person in the world, but if you're also not respectful of them, it ticks them off. So yeah, if somebody texted F off to you, you should probably remove them from your texting list, you know?
Yeah, and sense.
I think a reasonable judge or jury would probably side with the victim in that case and say, you know, you probably should have stopped texting at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what are, I think that kind of covers, is there anything else that you feel like businesses should know that they shouldn't be doing? I feel like that covers the questions that I had.
Well, let me share a couple of other things. So that's, you know, kind of United States law, TCPA, you have to have an opt-in and you also have to have an easy way for them to opt out. And you need to identify yourself as a business when you text them. And it's highly recommended on your very first text as a business to that customer that at the end of your text, you cue them and say, if you don't want text messages from me, reply, stop.
Gotcha. Okay.
So you kind of want to cue that first one, but still write it as a human would write a text to another human. Don't write it in a ridiculous way that sounds super dry and legal and boring, because then they'll know it's a business and they'll disengage.
Yeah, and I think that's super respectful. I've never been shy or been afraid that it was going to give people an out or anything like that. I've always been straight up front of like, hey, if I'm not adding value to you, like, please let me know, because I either need to change what I'm doing, or I need to make it more personal, or I need to, you know, I need to change something at that point. I would rather know that whatever I'm sending them is not of value than I would just to have them keep on getting it. And I know some people are a little bit reserved on that. Like, well, I don't want to give them an easy out. Well, you should give them an easy out. And if you have more and more people opting out, that should be an indicator that whatever you're sending them is not working anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. I was talking to someone yesterday who was saying something similar to that. I was like, well, I just don't want to lose their valuable contact information, you know, like, you know, and I said, but if they don't want to talk to you, that's not valuable contact information. So it doesn't matter.
Correct.
Yeah. So
exactly.
You're spot on. I mean, as business owners, we have a responsibility to give people value. That's why people give us money. And that extends to the way we communicate with people, the way we treat people. Like it's got to extend to every aspect of our business if we want to succeed. Well, Ty, let me share a few things with you about the CCPA, the California Consumer Protection Act.
Sure.
And again, not an attorney, people, but these are a couple of high-level things you need to pay attention to.
Sure.
The first thing is that they are requiring in the CCPA that if somebody contacts you as a business and says, I need you to remove all my data from your databases, then you're required to do it. And which I appreciate what they're trying to accomplish there. They don't want businesses harassing consumers.
Sure.
However, the TCPA requires you have, like 3 or 5 years of data, you know, showing what your interactions have been with the client. So if you comply with CCPA, you're now violating TCPA because now you can't go back and see what that client contact record and history looks like.
Oh, wow.
So, well, because most record management systems, if I delete you, Ty, out of my system, all of your contact information and contact history disappears too.
Right.
And so you just had a bunch of lawmakers and people that didn't know how to run businesses making laws. And
sure.
They also didn't pay attention to TCPA when they built it. So
sure.
Anyway, I hope that it'll get overturned soon. But that's something you have to get some advice from an attorney if you're a California company or you service your clients in California and you have that come up. Then one of the better things to do is probably just advise the customer. Hey, this is what you've asked. This is the conflict. We're happy to remove we're not going to contact you anymore. But I actually legally can't remove your contact information. Again, I'm not an attorney, but I just want you to be aware that that's a conflict there and you have to figure out how you want to approach it.
Sure.
And if you're a data broker, so let's say the CCPA is really harsh and provides a lot of new regulations. If you create leads and sell them to people,
okay,
and they include people in California, that's something to pay attention to. We're not going to go into it here because it's irrelevant, but
right,
just pay attention to that. If you are in that category where you sell contact information as part of your business model, you need to pay attention to CCPA's requirements there.
Okay.
Hey, Ty, so let me also share just a minute of information about the Canadian TCPA equivalent.
Sure.
A lot of businesses that are listening might be international in that way.
So okay.
In Canada, they've got a similar law, but it's a lot more relaxed, in my opinion, in that in Canada, if you have a business relationship, quote unquote, you can't see me doing air quotes here, but with customer, then you have implied consent to text them.
Okay.
Also, you can accept verbal acknowledgement, verbal permission, and if you document that in any way, then you're in pretty good shape in Canada. Now,
okay,
the interesting part is they consider if anyone's bought anything from you in the last few years, mm-hmm, they consider that good enough, that you can text them at that point because you have a business relationship with them.
Sure.
In TCPA, there's similar language about having a business relationship, but they're not as expressed in the United States about what that actually means. So
okay,
you've got to be a little more careful in the U.S., but if you have customers in Canada that have purchased from you in the last couple of years, you're in pretty good shape to text them if you have their cell phones. And again, just be respectful of requests to opt out.
Sure. So does that kind of cover the regulation side? I mean, as far as just making sure we're crossing our T's and dotting our I's.
I think so. And again, it's not legal advice. It's just something you need to pay attention to and make sure that the most important things are make sure you get opt-in and make sure you comply when somebody opts out. Those are the two big things.
Well, and if I had to guess, I don't know if most people know that. I think similar to like email or, how email was in the past or a phone or whatever, that people just think, well, cool, if I've got their cell phone number, I'm just going to text,
Mm-hmm.
So that's good to know.
Yep. Oh, and there's one more thing as well, just so you know. If you are running a mobile opt-in, mm-hmm, it's different than web opt-in. So if somebody's on your website and they fill out a form, that's where having a clearly presented opt-in message is critical.
Okay.
But if let's say you have a mobile app and you have people opt in on a mobile app to receive text messages, you've got to send. It's different because you have to send a confirmation that they've opted in.
Yeah.
And explain the program, the purpose of it, the frequency. They give them a rates notification, opt-out instructions, and help instructions in that whole opt-in confirmation.
Okay.
So anyway, there's more to it than that, but we can leave it at that for now.
Do you mind if we've covered that sector? What I'd like to do, and I know I didn't ask you this before, but can you give me – I'm just thinking in the back of my head, maybe there's somebody that's sitting there going, okay, I haven't even gone down this road of text messaging. I haven't even considered it. I know it exists, but – I haven't even thought about using it in my business. Can you give a quick breakdown of what is the availability through text? Like, if you will, just tell me, what does Client Tether offer? Obviously, Client Tether is your format. What does that offer to businesses?
Sure.
As far as texting goes.
Yeah, sure. So essentially, fully integrated texting automation and engagement. So within a client record, you could from their client records, you could send them a text right now. You could reply to their texts that are coming in. You can see a history of all their texts. You could schedule a text to go out. at a certain time. Like, let's say it's Friday night at 6 p.m. and I need to get you an update on Monday. Just write it now, save it, and it'll get delivered. And then also group, you can send texts to groups of people that, you know, that you want to filter them down and then use a template, whatever you want. It's pretty flexible. It can also be built into automation. So you could have a campaign that runs for a new lead that comes in that sends a text immediately, and then the next morning, and then a week later, it can kind of be programmed that way as well.
So as far as lead response or in any type of automation, is there any strategy there on whether you should text first, email first, call? I mean, I know you've got to have the opt-in, but let's assume the opt-in comes in. Is there any strategy that you've seen there? Does it really matter whether the initial contact or response is text or phone or email? Have you seen anything as far as that goes?
Yeah, it's a great question. Well, I would say it's actually becoming more important to text because of the things you're seeing from Google and from Apple with their mobile platforms. So now you can kind of, I forget what it's called in Apple, but you can go on like do not disturb mode, essentially, where if you don't know, or it's like anti-spam mode, if that person's contact is not in your contact book, then it'll automatically route the call to your voicemail. Now, millions of Americans have this turned on now. So if you're a business and somebody fills out your form and they're and you want to text them or you want to call them, well, you're going to go straight to voicemail now. You don't even have the user doesn't need, the consumer doesn't have to answer your phone because Apple does that for them.
Yeah, now, that's crazy. That's awesome, though.
Yeah, so this is why texting is becoming increasingly important in business, is because now, because of that, you should send out a text message first and just identify yourself and tell them thanks for filling out the form, that you're going to call them in a few minutes. And then even if they've got that turned on and it routes you right to voicemail, what does the consumer do now? They say, oh, that was Dave at client. I need to call him right back. And then you get a call back.
Yep. Well, and I think that brings up another good point of on your forms, whether it be web or wherever you're gathering information, of how important it is to gather that cell phone information on top of, I mean, obviously you probably wouldn't have an opt-in without gathering their cell phone information, but I'll bet you there's a lot of forms still out there that aren't collecting the cell phone number. They're still just collecting, you know, a regular phone or address, name, you know, email address. So I think it would be super important at this point that if you're not asking for that information now, that you start immediately and then also have that opt-in.
Yeah. And I think part of that depends upon what you're asking them to opt in for. For example, if you just have a newsletter service that you're trying to get people to sign up for, first name, last name, and email is great.
Sure.
But if it's, you know, you're trying to sell somebody on, you know, or somebody wants to buy a car from you. I mean,
yeah.
Think about that, or you're an attorney or a dentist, then you want to be able to have a way to reach them immediately, so you can respond to them before the four other people do that also got the same lead.
Good point. What about any other strategy as far as, I know we talked a little bit about personalization, and I think that goes with everything that you do. Even if you are to automate, there's got to be checkpoints. You got to personalize it. You can't just blanket blast people because they'll know. Is there any other strategy on engagement or how to use it or things that you've seen work or maybe not work?
Yeah, definitely. So I've seen, a couple of things. If you consider texting part of an overall strategy, it actually helps to synergize with different steps. So I just mentioned one on the phone calls. Send out a text first, let them know you're calling. You're much more likely to get your call answered. You set an appointment with somebody, and you send follow-up reminders over text so they remember, oh, tomorrow we've got an appointment. Hey, in 2 hours, I'm going to call you. One, they feel like you really care and you're paying attention to them. If you can make them feel like they're your only customer, even though it might be an automated system, then you're winning at the game of client engagement.
Yeah, love that.
You can also use it to synergize with email, because you need to use email, even though it's not the most effective communication medium. Sometimes you have to send documents or attachments or things like that. And you can do that over text in some platforms, like we allow it, but it's not the ideal way to send a contract over text, right? You want to send that over email. So, but most people don't monitor their emails anymore. So unless they're over the age of 60, we've covered this already, right?
Yeah. Well, though, and so, that does sound like a good strategy of being able to use that 1-2 punch, because email obviously still serves its purpose, and then text serves its purpose. And it kind of seems similar to, well, not exactly, but just in a comparison of like a Facebook to an Instagram to a Twitter. You know, mm-hmm. There's just different uses for it.
Yeah, exactly. And in this case, if you're using email, if you send a text message 2 minutes later and say, "Hey, Steve, I just sent you that email we were talking about. Let me know if you got it." Then he's gonna see that text, and then within minutes you'll see that your open rates on your email shoot through the roof on that particular message, because
good point,
because they're getting that text message and they know it's there.
Good point.
Yeah, and if it went to spam, which it often can, then they will go look for it and find it and not think that you dropped the ball.
Yeah, no, that's great advice. I like that a lot. Well, unless there's anything else I've missed, you're more than welcome to add anything else that you had in here. I guess the last question that I'd have for you is, maybe especially in these times right now, what are some things that you would maybe be sending out in these times? Is it like on a text? Is it just a basic, "Hey, I hope you're doing well"? Do you feel like we should be addressing the whole COVID coronavirus thing? You know, since we've been talking about text, is there any other pointers you give during this time of maybe just some ideas, or maybe it is a do or don't? Sometimes we can learn more from what not to do, but, you know, how can people be using text for these times right now?
Well, I would just reiterate something we talked about before and then share an example of it.
Mm-hmm.
Texting is a more personal medium, and there are a few things you want to avoid. One of which is writing in text as though you are a marketer, writing you know, email length text messages and sending those to your customers.
Yeah,
it's easy because now you've got tools like what we provide or other tools where you can type up the text message and then send it on your computer. Well, so you don't need a double space and put a period after everything. You don't have to. You don't want to write them a 500 word text message. You want to send them. You remember, you're communicating in a medium where people are expecting it to be short and concise.
Yes.
So just bear that in mind, but also make it personal. I mean, it's so easy when you tie automation into things like this, where you can personalize it very quickly. But some of the most potent text messages that I've seen in business, and I'll share one example with you that happened like 2 days ago to me, it was Monday, so 3 days ago now, I was thinking about somebody who I've worked with a bit, and I knew that her mother had been pretty sick, and she wanted to follow up with me later. And I really was genuinely concerned. I was like, dang, that's gotta be rough. She's kind of dialed down her business. She's taking care of an ailing mother. And now it's COVID-19 outbreak. So I asked her how her mom was doing and how she was doing, cause I genuinely cared.
Yeah.
And I don't mean that to sound self-aggrandizing, but I was curious and wanted to find out how she was doing.
Sure.
And she texted me right back. She's like, "Wow, I'm surprised you remembered. Mom's doing okay. You know, we're a little bit, we're getting a little stir crazy, but everything else is all right." And then it turned into a true engagement where she's like, "I've gotten so many stupid messages from people in the last 2 weeks. Yours was the first one that showed that somebody actually cared about me and my family versus just the generic, 'Hey, I hope you and your family are well. Now let me get to what I want to talk to you about.'"
Yeah, there is, I'm blown away at how much that is happening right now. Like, absolutely blown away but I guess, like they said, common sense doesn't always exist, but.
Yes, common sense isn't always common. I have to agree with you. Yeah, but just remember, I mean, guys, like, people need us to care about them right now.
Yeah.
And so if you can just connect with your customers and not have any sort of ask or request, but just reach out and say, "Just want to check in. How are you guys doing? Is everybody okay in your family?" You know, if I had a dentist that did that right now, I'd be like, "Dang, bro. Yeah, we're all great. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking, Dennis." You know, I would be very happy to hear that without him saying, "Hey, by the way, you should come in and get your teeth cleaned because COVID can affect your enamel." Like, I don't want that.
Well, and I, with all of us having a little bit extra time right now, at least I would believe so. We've got a little bit extra time, even if it's just in the commute in the morning and at night or during the day, you know, now wouldn't be a bad time to just slow down and maybe do some stuff manually as opposed to automated, or at least if you are going to automate some stuff, maybe take a little bit more time and think it out just a little bit more, you know?
Yeah, sure. I mean, templatize things and then add in personal insights or notes. I mean, it's not hard to do, but it is important. And people really need to feel connected right now because we've lost that sense of connection that we have with our coworkers and with our neighbors. So it's very important psychologically for people. And then, I mean, in the end, it also benefits business because people trust you and they like you. And they're like, wow, Dave and Ty, they really care.
Yeah.
And we do. And we're showing it because we're taking time to personalize what we say to them.
Well, and I think on the flip side, and again, we always joke around about this and it seems like a theme in the podcast, but you know, the shameless plug from my end would be, you know, get a tool that supports everything that we've talked about. And I know, again, I use Client Tether, obviously. I hope you use Client Tether, Dave.
yep. Yeah. I mean, a lot. Yes.
But do your homework on your tool and don't get so jazzed about texting that you just go sign up with somebody that allows you to blast people with texts. I mean, mm-hmm. Do the homework. You know, if anything, you've at least got a template from listening to this. Go and see what Client Tether offers so you at least have something to compare it to. And I'm sure, Dave, you know, no different than my chocolate. I'd tell somebody, yeah, if you feel like there's a better option out there, by all means, come taste my chocolate and then go, you know, see if somebody else can provide you a private label. And I'm sure you're the same way with Client Tether of, you know, at least check out Client Tether, see what it's got to offer so that there's at least some reference point, especially if you're not texting right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you'll find that a lot of the stuff that we've talked about for good reason is already built into Client Tether. So, you know, instead of just signing up for, like I said, some random format, make sure that it's got the bells and whistles because it is affordable. It's not something to where you have to go break the bank to do it. I can attest to that. You know, we're a small business and that was the first thing that caught my eye about Client Tether is that I can have a better product offering than the big boys out there without the cost. So
yeah. Well, thanks anyways. For that. Hey, well, let's with one last insight on this.
Because, yeah, go for it.
And because I hate to end on the shameless plug, but thanks for that, Todd. In the spirit of giving value, one other thing to pay attention to, because there are a lot of options out there. There are a ton of standalone texting options.
Okay.
And the challenge that people need to pay attention to is if you're using a standalone texting option and it doesn't connect with your standard record management system, your CRM, your service management system, whatever it is, then you can create a disparity of data where on your texting platform, somebody said, hey, stop contacting me. But in your CRM, you don't have any way to track that. And so then you start calling them out of the CRM and you tick people off.
Oh, man. And that happens so fast. That can get out of control so quick.
Yeah, absolutely. And same thing's true. If somebody emails you and you make a note in your CRM like, oh, they do not contact. Guess what? That didn't carry over to your texting platform. You just delivered a text 2 hours after they said don't contact me. Those are things you've got to pay attention to and figure out how to build a bridge with an API between the two or find tools that have it all in one or, you know, find good tools that plug in and connect with whatever platforms you're using.
And it only takes one offense to sever that relationship. And then you will more than likely spend years. And I found in my case, again, I've done this. I have made some mistakes on that side. And if you do that and you get caught in that spot, I would just be honest and just say,
absolutely,
totally messed up. Was trying to do this, did not mean to do that. I will own up to it. I promise I won't do it again. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you've got to be able, if you are going to text, I will say this, if you're going to text, you've got to cross your T's and dot your I's. It's only going to take one offense to burn that relationship. And if it's one that's a golden goose for you or that you're trying to build, good luck. Once you offend, it's going to be an uphill battle from there, especially when you didn't start with the relationship. And then it starts off with one of the faux pas that we've talked about not to commit. So just do it right. If you're going to do it, just do it right.
Yeah, I totally agree. And yeah, I love how we kind of built up how exciting texting was and ended on a dire note. Like if you do this, everything will end.
No, that's my bad. But I'm just saying there. It's true.
No, but texting is, you know, it's a critical part of business, but you're exactly right. You have to approach it. You can't just slap it together and be sloppy here. You want to be careful.
No.
And again, like we've got some resources that we've provided on our website. Mm-hmm. If people just want to look, if people want to get on there and call us, we've got people that know what they're talking about. We can just answer your questions.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're happy to do that. And thanks for inviting me to chat about this today, Ty.
As always, I'll put your information in the notes so people know how to get a hold of you and investigate more if they want to ask questions or get more involved in texting. But again, yeah, I appreciate your time, Dave. I know everybody else, you know, appreciates you coming on and giving some value here in a world that I use, but I don't have as in-depth the knowledge that you've got. So I appreciate you being a resource for me as well.
Yeah, happy to do it. Thanks, Ty.
Okay, talk soon. We'll see you.